This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Wednesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn, 374, down 1.25. March corn, 387, down 1.5. May corn, 395.75, down 1.25. November soybeans, 1024.25, down 18.75. January soybeans, 1029.75, down 19.25. March soybeans, 1036, down 20. December wheat, 536, down 2.25. March wheat, 549, down 2. May wheat, 557, down 1. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois Country Grain prices, they ended lower on Thursday afternoon. Technical trading at the Port of Trade in soybeans and soybean products produced a setback in values and weighed on corn and wheat prices. In northern and western Illinois, Country Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly a penny lower at $3.36 to $3.48, while soybean bids were down 17 cents at $9.65 to $9.94. In central Illinois, Country Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to a penny lower at $3.21 to $3.44, while soybeans were down 18 to 19 cents at $9.85 to $10.09. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids ended mixed at 3.25 to 3.42. Soybeans were 14 to 17 lower, ranging from 9.73 to 10.18, and the wheat bids down 2 cents at 4.20 to 4.66. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids down 15 to 18 cents at 10.04 to 10.34. Basis ended steady to 4 cents stronger, ranging from 20 under to 10 over November. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of $415 to $438 per ton. That's down $17.20 per ton, with basis steady range from 35 to 58 over December. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids ended mixed at 329 to 367, with basis steady to 8 cents stronger, range from 45 under to 7 under December. Illinois River Barswood and Elevators quarter producer corn bids mixed at 337 to 349, with basis steady to 11 cents stronger, range from 37 to 25 under December. Soybeans down 17 to 19 cents, ranging from 10.04 to 10.18, with basis steady to 2 cents higher, ranging from 20 under to 6 under November. East St. Louis Barswooding Terminal Elevators place their producer corn bids 1 to 2 lower at 363 to 364. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 18 to 19 cents, with quotations at 1037 to 1046. Soft red winter wheat 2 cents weaker at 411 to 506, and the Milo down 1 to 2 at 393 to 394. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for January delivered corn range from 341 up to 366. January soybeans, 994 up to 1024. In central Illinois, January corn bids range from 348 up to 365, with the January soybean bids range from 998 to 1037. In the southern part of the state, January corn bids range from 355 up to 372. January soybean bids at 1014 to 1045. And June-July delivery wheat in southern Illinois, those bids range from 494 up to 535. That completes our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Thursday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. October live cattle, 170.50, up $1.50. December live cattle, 167.32, up 57 cents. February live cattle, 167.47, up 10 cents. October feeder cattle, 239.75, up 90 cents. November feeder cattle, 234.22, up $1.17. January feeder cattle, 228.47, up 52 cents. December lean hogs, 87.20, down $1.40. February lean hogs, 86.95, down $1.10. April lean hogs, 88.05, down $1.05. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture bringing you Thursday the 30th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 39 cents lower in the range of $74 to $87.50, with a weighted average carcass price of $85.07. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 60 to 66. 4 to 5 weights were 64 to 67. 5 to 6 weights, 67 to 69. 6 weights and up were 69 to 72. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings, ranging in price from 55 to 61. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 15,054 head. And now moving on to the Greenville Livestock Auction, they had receipts of 641 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers, 164 up to 175, select and choice 152 to 162, choice slaughter Holstein steers, 149.50 to 153.50, select and choice 140 to 146, choice slaughter heifers 162 to 175, select and choice heifers were 155 to 161. Now moving over to the opening report from the Walnut Livestock Auction, they had receipts of 254 head. Choice slaughter steers were 165 to 169.25. Choice slaughter Holstein steers 144 to 146.50, and choice slaughter heifers 164.50 to 170. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis were 167.50 and on a dress basis 263. Heifers on a dress basis were 263 as well. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 372 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $97.64, and that was $1.51 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $253.35, that was 28 cents lower, and select carcasses were $239.41, and that was 36 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 110,000, that compared to 108,000 last week and 123,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated to be 432,000, that compared to 429,000 last week and 432,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. October and November corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.49. October and November corn delivered to Scottville, $3.43. October beans delivered to Greenfield, $10.04. November beans delivered to Greenfield, $10.07. October beans delivered to Scottville, $10.04. November beans delivered to Scottville, $10.07. October wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.71. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $3.49, corn at Scottville is $3.43, beans at Greenfield and Scottville are $10.04, and wheat at Scottville is $4.71. The deadline for the Dairy Margin Protection Program will extend now until December 5th. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack announced the extension while speaking at the National Milk Producers Federation annual meeting. The voluntary enrollment deadline was changed because Vilsack said, "We want dairy producers to have enough time to make thoughtful and well-studied choices." The program provides financial assistance to participating farms when the margin, the difference between the milk price and feed costs, falls below the coverage level selected by the farmer. In a news release, Monsanto announced a commitment to further improve the genetic potential of seeds. The company announced Wednesday a $20 million investment in the Integrated Technology Centers as part of its global breeding program. The technology centers will utilize continuing advancements in data science, genomic breeding methods, and predictive analytics to further enhance seeds, according to the release. The funding will help accelerate plant breeding research across integrated technology centers in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Maryland, Minnesota, and Nebraska. The 87th National FFA Convention kicked off on Wednesday. Thursday morning, Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack addressed the crowd of FFA members.
There are a number of challenges, and I'm going to be able to speak about three basic challenges, and you all are central to responding to these challenges. First is the aging nature of farmers in America today. The average age of farmers is 58. It means that we have to do a better job of continuing to attract and retain young people into this extraordinary calling. We are a strong and powerful nation, in large part because we have the most productive farmers and the best farmers in the world. And it's going to be important and necessary for the next generation to take up that challenge. It's up to you, the FFA members, the over 600,000 members of this organization, to ensure that there is a next generation of farmers prepared. And it's going to be important and necessary for FFA to lead the effort in farming organizations across the United States to make sure that it's not just simply male farmers. We have young women who want to be farmers as well. Half of your leadership are women. We want young women to be engaged in agriculture, and FFA must lead that effort. So first and foremost, challenge, help us by making sure that we continue to promote programs that provide access to credit, that provide risk management tools, the kinds of things that will help you as young farmers get in the business, stay in the business, and prosper in the business. The second challenge is the challenge of a changing climate, the weather variability that we all see today. Longer droughts, more severe storms, more frequent flooding have created challenges not just in the United States, but all over the world. And this generation of Americans, this generation of those related to agriculture, connected to agriculture, have a unique opportunity to help figure out how we better manage climate, how we adapt and mitigate to the consequences of climate change. You all embrace science. You all understand the significance of science. You're excited about science. You need to continue that. And we at USDA want to help you. We've established recently a series of climate change hubs, which is really designed to look at the vulnerabilities of agriculture in terms of climate in the United States, helping to identify technologies and techniques necessary to allow us to adapt and mitigate as you continue your education. It's going to be important and necessary that you embrace this challenge to help us figure out how we're going to continue to meet the needs of a growing world population under this most difficult set of circumstances. And finally, the challenge of making sure that we do indeed feed the world. FFA has done a tremendous job of working with us at USDA to deal with the issue of hunger in the United States. We've expanded summer feeding. We've encourage more access to our school nutrition programs. We've encouraged school breakfasts. We've really made an effort collaboratively and in partnership to feed the hungry in this country. But there are 825 million people in the world today. Over 300 million of them are children. And they too are hungry. They too are looking for someone to help them. The United States of America, which is the most generous and caring nation, is depending on you to make sure that we embrace science, that we continue to make agriculture productive, that we continue to figure out ways to do better trade and more food assistance programs all over the world so that we meet this challenge. So my challenge to you today is to continue your work. Continue with enthusiasm and energy. Continue to support agriculture. Continue to celebrate it. And when you talk to your friends and neighbors who may not understand farming, who may not understand agriculture, make sure that they understand three simple points. One, that each one of us has the ability to do with our lives what we choose to do because most of us have delegated the responsibility of feeding our families to the American farmer. It's created this great freedom for us to choose occupations and jobs beyond agriculture. But we can't do that without extraordinarily productive farmers. And we need to appreciate those who farm, those who support our families. Secondly, when we leave the grocery stores in this great country of ours, we leave with more money in our pocket than anybody else in the world because we spend less on for our food as a percentage of our paychecks than anyone else in the world, which means that we have freedom to go out and buy additional items, to stimulate the economy. Again, central to this great economy is American agriculture. And finally, I suspect in this audience, there are moms and dads and proud grandparents. And I suspect that some in this audience have a son or daughter, a niece or nephew, or grandson or granddaughter who have served admirably in our military. Many of you, but not all of you, come from rural areas. And I think there's an understanding in the rural parts of this country that much is given, much is expected. There's an understanding and appreciation, as farmers understand, that you can't keep taking from the land, you have to give something back to it or it will stop producing. That value system is alive and well in rural areas because of a strong agricultural history and heritage. So whether it's freedom of opportunity, more money in our pockets, or brave young men and women willing to serve us and protect us, it all starts with American agriculture. And it all must continue with you, the future of American agriculture. God bless you all.
Again, that was Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack addressing FFA members at the 87th National Convention that is going on right now in Louisville, Kentucky. And in honor of Halloween, here's a little fact about pumpkins. 12,500 acres of pumpkins were harvested in Illinois for processing in 2012, according to NASS statistics. More than three-fourths of all pumpkins harvested for processing in the U.S. come from Illinois. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.